nope, you know.
Yeah.
It's
we do burgers and fries, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can, you know, they have one size patty. You know, we can do a double if you want. That's it. I mean, it's like, but it's good, man. They got it down. So, you know.
When you're good, you do what you want, right?
Yep, exactly.
You guys ready to go? We got a big show tonight. We're going to focus in on the start sit as we approach the important weeks, guys. You want to get into the money leagues. You want to set your starting lineups proper. Make sure you tune in. Let's get to it, guys.
District, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion. For the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So, what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex. Send the homie a text. That trash offer's the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden, they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's the and I always be trading, trading, trading. And I always be trading, trading, trading. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them, fish.
What is up, Fantasyland? Welcome back to Thursday Tailgate. Big game tonight, Green Bay, Tennessee. Big week coming up, week 11. We're in the double digits. We approach the money weeks, and you want to make sure you're setting your starting lineups right and proper. You know how we do it in the district. We bring you the biggest winners, the biggest players, and the best analysts, and tonight is no different. Smash the like, smash the subscribe. I got my boy Dan. I got my boy Andrew. Big dogs themselves, no little dogs in the fantasy world. And we got our boy Theo coming in late, making a proper late entrance. Scott Spratt, start sit specialist, FTN fantasy podcast host with our boy Nelson, friend of the podcast here. And also does a little DFS action. Scott Pratt, welcome to the district, brother. We are pumped to have you tonight.
Thanks for having me in, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what you do DFS-wise with FTN.
The main thing I do is a pace and play calling type article for DFS. So I'm looking at trends and, you know, how many pass attempts and rush attempts are allowed per game, looking at factors like potentially teams having leads and how that could lead to, you know, run positive game scripts, things along those lines.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. And then, you know, your sit start article is something that I just recently ran across. I've been a subscriber there, but I kind of know what I'm looking for, which blinds me to looking for new things, which is dumb, you know. So every once in a while, it makes sense.
It's called being old, man. It's called being old.
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
I'm there.
But Scott, why don't you describe real quick kind of the concept behind your sit start article, what kind of things you're looking at, and just kind of give us a general sense for how you go about preparing that and what readers can expect from it.
I think one of the beauties of the article is that you don't have to read too much if you're not really into the prose of it all. I sets everybody up as like how they rank relative to the expert consensus from Fantasy Pros. And I look for factors that could be positives or negatives relative to that consensus. And I have a big advanced stats leaning. So I'm looking at things like players that have scored more or fewer touchdowns than expected based on where they've seen their targets and carry. So those expected touchdown differentials. I'm looking at things like home road splits, potentially for venue related issues, weather being a huge one in week 11, a lot of those types of things, matchup type of things too, whether teams allow, you know, more or fewer touchdowns than expected, et cetera.
So here's the clams, guys. If you're watching, this is why you got to tune in on YouTube or Spotify. Just the way it's broken down is just beautiful. I'll try to fit it better to the screen as you're talking there. Sorry, Andrew. I think you had a question for Scott.
No, I was gonna say it's perfect for when you're distracted in a work meeting, right? Because you got the bit,
got the big bold headlines, right? You got the pictures. That's very helpful for like the initial scroll. And when you're ready to go back and actually get nerdy with it, right, Scott, exactly as you said, with the, you know, the stats lean and thinking through, you know, how all the numbers work, it, you know, it's got the perfect second read through once you actually are off the clock and ready to get your fantasy thinking cap on. So it's got a nice dual purpose there. I like the layout of the article.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's definitely digestible, but gives a nice in-depth and touches exactly what you want to be looking at when you're deciding. I was joking with Scott, Dan, telling him we always kind of make fun of ourselves and say probably the weakest point of our game is those sit start, especially the really close ones. For some reason, we just seem to, you know, sometimes pick the wrong way, but we're going to fix that tonight. We're going to make sure everybody's got the right lineups. If you have questions in the chat, make sure you drop your questions. We'll answer as much, if not all of them, by the end of the show. Guys, let's jump right into it. Dan, do you have somewhere you want to start with Scott, or do you want me to start this thing off?
No, I mean, okay, I'll give him from our, you know, the main event that you and me and Andrew and Theo did together. We have a lot of, we've got some bye week issues, but
Dan, I think it's got some Thursday night implications too, right? This question.
Yes, it does. Yeah, nice. That's why I'm asking. So,
nice.
So basically, we are left with a position where we need to fill a running back and a flex, and basically our options are AJ Dillon, Wandale Robinson, Darrell Henderson, and Kyren Williams. Everybody else is either on bye or injured, pretty much. So what would be your recommendation there? I mean, I kind of think I know how I want to approach it, but I want to hear how you want to approach it.
So this one's a little tough for me because I've been advocating for AJ Dillon to bounce back for weeks now. I feel like he's had a big expected touchdown shortfall. It's by more than two touchdowns at this point. He's just had a lot of work in the red zone that hasn't manifested in actual touchdowns. So you feel like that's a real chance for him to potentially improve. And you feel like the potential for bad weather tonight. I think the snow has cleared up, but it's still very cold. It could be more of a run skew than you would typically see from the Packers. The issue is the Titans' opponent, they have a dramatically better run defense than pass defense, and they've actually allowed the most pass attempts per game and fewest rush attempts per game in the league so far this season. So I'm not sure this is the perfect night for Dillon. I guess Darrell Henderson's the other way to go, but I'm super nervous about the Rams' ability to move the ball without Cooper Kupp. They don't really have a lot of other skill talent. So I guess I like very tepidly am endorsing Dillon, but I don't know. Like what was your thought of the four?
Yeah, so that's, you know, and we also have a flex to fill. And basically what I'm looking at is Wandale didn't practice today.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we don't start Dillon today, we could end up in a situation where we have to start both Darrell Henderson and Kyren Williams, which is like the
I don't know if I want that.
Hey, no. Hey,
so, you know, just kind of by default, I'm like, well, we're gonna throw Dillon in, I think, tonight, and then for that flex, we can kind of leave it open ended. You know, if Wandale does end up playing, he's probably the guy I would want to throw in the flex, though I would potentially consider Henderson or Kyren Williams if I got some kind of an indication as to which way LA was leaning. You know, if they thought they're, you know, if I could get some kind of an idea of is one of them going to get more high value touches or touches than the other, you know, I might go that way. But otherwise, you know, you're kind of praying for a touchdown from Wandale. What do you think about that, Scott? Is that good process or no?
I think so. I mean, I think in this case, you maybe are praying for a touchdown no matter who you start, just because we're kind of, we're a little bit deeper than you would ideally want to be making your flex choices. That's why I think Dillon does make a lot of sense because, again, it's a guy that has been super unlucky from a touchdown perspective, and hopefully the Packers maybe ride him a little bit more because of the weather conditions.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping. And then also, I mean, there is a chance we could get Marquise Brown back from IR, but of course that's a Monday game, and you know, we may not even know on Sunday in time to make that decision. But we'll just have to see.
Welcome the OG Fantasy joining. What's up, Theo?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, Scott, how you doing? What's up, Andrew?
Good, Theo.
What's up,
how are
Dan?
You?
And by the way, guys, if you're watching or listening right now and you haven't checked out the last two shows dropped on this channel, you're missing huge. Theo dropped a sick waiver wire show at the OG Live Wire for week 11, probably the most important waiver wire week that you've done yet so far. And then you guys sat down with two of the best in the game, Theo. Who was that again? I can't really remember.
So we had Chris Vaccaro and Abib Agbatoba on. It was a great show. Dan and I got a chance to sit with them, and we went off script a little bit, talked about some big broad topics, and it's definitely worth a listen for anybody before this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. I thought it was a fun show. I thought it was, and more than just for, you know, like week 11 or even the remainder of the season.
Just fantasy overall.
Yeah, because we really kind of got into, you know, like, you know, building teams, you know, team building theory, all that kind of stuff. You know, and things that we did this year that we liked and didn't like, and are those, you know, was it, what do we think it's going to be? You know, what do we think the environment's going to be like next year? What do we think the moves are going to be next year? So if you're already starting to think about next year a little bit, definitely a good one to go take a look at.
You know, it's hard not to think about next year with certain rosters, you right. know, to turn out a Cooper Cup. You know, it's time to start thinking about it a little bit and give yourself some solace and all
you,
that.
You go buy some pieces yet, Theo? Are you selling yet? Or what
you
what
know,
are you
doing? It's actually, you know, this is, you know, just to get a little dynasty on you guys. I have a team that's like a 5-5 team. So it's kind of like right in the middle. And I was offered Cooper Cup for DK Metcalf. And I turned it down in about an hour. I thought about it for a second. I think that we'll be drafting Cooper Kupp ahead of DK Metcalf next year, but it was just too much to trade for an injured 29-year-old for, you know, a 24-year-old. And I think that there's a chance if DK goes nuclear that DK is going to be a little bit closer in terms of where we're ranking wide receivers next year than we think at this point. So it's a weird week. I mean, we've got two more guests coming along that are dynasty focused. In the next week or so, we're going to hit a lot of those trade questions. But it's like this is a weird time of year for our dynasty teams. But
well, especially a trade like that. Usually, you're making that move for Cup as a contender. But now he's hurt. Yeah. He's old. Yeah. You know, he's going to be coming back off injury. So it's really that's a really tough one. But we can get into that. You know, tomorrow with the Dino guys. Scott, I want to stick to this Green Bay game. We saw Watson smash last week. You know, give Fantasyland that excitement that we've been waiting for from a late season rookie. We've seen struggles in Green Bay. We've got the over under in this game is, you know, like you said, it's probably with temperature. It's going to be cold. It's just at 41 right now. The over under. What do you see with the rookie receiver? You know, everyone's hyped to put him back in their lineup. Where do you see his production on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly optimistic enough that hopefully you were able to grab him off the waiver wire. It seems like he's a very high ceiling player that could be a real difference maker in the fantasy playoffs. But I do think that the sort of the consensus on his value is gone a little bit too far to my liking. And in particular, and it sticks with the three touchdowns that he had, is that he scored from long range on two of those touchdowns. So set to score from distance. That's the type of distribution of touchdowns that tends to lead to regression. And so I have him with three touchdowns, but just 0.92 expected receiving touchdowns this season. That's one of the bigger surpluses, top 10 among wide receivers, something that tends to regress going forward. So I think he's been a little bit lucky to score as much as he has so far, and I would fade him a bit. I have him outside the top 30 wide receivers this week. I have him 31st.
Where do you have Alan Lazard this week, Scott?
Let's see. I've got him definitely ranked higher. I think the longer track record there of getting the higher target share makes me feel a lot more confident in him. And the fact that the Titans tend to allow a lot more pass attempts than run attempts, although, again, with the weather, I think that's a little bit less certain than I would normally be about it. I have Lazard 15th at the position this week.
Okay, so he's comfortably a high-end wide receiver too for you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's really much of a start or sit decision there. You're going with him.
100%. And then what about Robert Tonyan? I know the tight ends usually do pretty well against Tennessee. Were you bullish on Tonyan this week?
I am relatively bullish on him. I've got him 14th at the position. It's kind of right behind the Cole Kmet, Taysom Hill kind of range of guys. A lot of similarity there, I guess you would say. And I think I have something on this. Yeah, it kind of ties into the broader point about Lazard, too, is that the Titans have increased expected passing touchdowns by 0.17 per game. That's the seventh most in football. And I think that's a little bit different than the perception of them, because you think of the Titans having this really strong defense, but I think it skews a lot more heavily towards quality run defense than pass defense. So I'm willing to go with most of the Packers receivers. I just think if you're expecting Watson to be a three touchdown guy every week, that might be a little bit excessive.
Yes, well, just maybe.
Just maybe. But I'll say shout out to the chat is really, really live right now. But I don't know if the cold is going to be a big deal for Christian Watson. A guy who's played at North Dakota State. You know, that's practically as cold as Minnesota, Dan, right?
North Dakota might actually be worse. I mean, you know, we at least have, you know, some periods of thaw, but basically North Dakota, the wind blows 50 miles an hour every day there all the time. So, you know, yeah, it's really rough. I mean, it's yeah. Basically 11 months of blizzard and then, you know, like a 1 month of desert. Is my understanding.
The good news for
us. Don't move to North Dakota, according to Dan Williamson.
Your point is an interesting one, too, with respect to Aaron Rodgers, because Rodgers actually tends to maintain a better fantasy point average at home than on the road, something you tend to expect from guys in domes, like Dak Prescott being a real example there of a guy that scores a lot more at home than on the road. And Rodgers deals with a lot of cold weather and still gets it done in Green Bay. So you do feel better about their receivers than you would a lot of other quarterbacks in similar circumstances.
How about on the opposite side of the ball, a guy that I'm a fan of and I have a ton of dynasty exposure to. I'm not starting him in redraft tonight, but your thoughts on Treylon Burks. He had 6 targets last week, equal to season high. That was coming off of an injury. Do you have hopes for him to see an increased role tonight, or do you think that's about what we should expect for him, like a 5-6 target kind of guy?
Honestly, I'm still a little bit pessimistic, and I think it's less to do with him and more to do with Ryan Tannehill, who himself has been recently hurt, and I'm not sure he really looked totally back to full strength in week 10. And talking about guys that have extreme home road splits, Tannehill's averaged 2.2 more fantasy points per game at home than on the road since 2020. And playing up here, he's probably a little bit less used to this extreme cold temperatures than Aaron Rodgers would be. So I think it might be a really tough night for a lot of the pass catchers for the Titans. I think for me, it's probably a Derrick Henry or nobody else from that roster unless you're playing in a deeper league.
And then I hate to ask about him, but he did have a big game last week. You're already down on the Titans wide receivers, but Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, is this just a one-off, or do you?
I thought that's who you had the most shares of in Dino there.
On full disclosure, I have 0 Nick Westbrook-Ikhine shares. Andrew would never allow that on our share teams.
Yeah, that's true. Westbrook-Ikhine had the second biggest touchdown surplus over his expected total last week. And is another guy that can catch a long touchdown. It's in the skill set, but that's not the kind of thing that I think you would reasonably expect to repeat. So I would say leave him on your benches.
Will do.
I'll take another one. I'll take my born again Colts, Scott. You know, we saw Ryan a bit rejuvenated last week. This offense as a whole, the offensive line, but now they go to Philly. Not ideal. You know, when you're kind of riding high, but and again, looking at the over under, you're looking at about 45.5 right now. So not like a super high scoring game. Indeed, is underdog by 7. So this might help the case here. But you have Paris Campbell as a start, and we've seen some pretty nice production from the young. I almost said rookie because he's almost a rookie because we've barely seen him with injuries.
Yeah, but games played, yes.
Yeah, tell us why you like the young receiver out in India, and if there's are any other pieces out in that offense that you like against a tough Philly defense.
There are, and with the Eagles in general, I think it's a situation where they're just a better real-life defense than fantasy defense. Like play them in fantasy than you would be in real life. By passing DVOA, they're the best pass defense in football, which is basically just a fancy metric of saying that they're really good at like limiting offensive efficiency. But the thing about that is when they build leads, that tends to encourage their opponents to pass. So they've also allowed the 5th most pass attempts per game in football this season. So whatever Matt Ryan is probably going to lose by being less efficient, and this is true of Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell and everyone else, he's probably going to make up a little bit of that because of just passing volume, extra attempts. And I'm particularly encouraged by Campbell. It's been a bit of a roller coaster in recent weeks if you're just looking at his overall targets. But his two lesser target days in the last five have actually come with Sam Ellinger at quarterback. In the last three games that he's played with Matt Ryan, he's seen 11, 12, and 9 targets. So I'm very bullish. I'm up to projecting him for 8.4 targets this week. That's top 20 among wide receivers. I don't have him top 20 in terms of fantasy expectations, but I have him 34th. That's four spots ahead of consensus. I think he's absolutely somebody you can start in confidence, even though you're dealing with a really tough defense and tough corners. I think the volume is going to help him out.
I have one start sit just going through my lineups earlier today. We saw Nico Collins have a 10 target game this past week. The final scoring line was not overwhelming, but it seemed like a big positive sign. I have a team where I have a number of guys on a bye. It's a must-win FFPC main event team. I'm almost out of fab. It's Nico Collins for me, or a struggling Kareem Hunt, in a dome environment. Which way would you go with that start sit?
Yeah, I was a little bit with that before they decided to move that game into the dome in Detroit. I feel like that's going to make a really big difference with how effective I think the Browns can run the ball and kind of keep pace offensively with the Bills. So I'm going to surprisingly say I think it's Nico Collins. And there's a big surprise in this, which is that Davis Mills has the most extreme home road split in terms of fantasy production in the game over the last 2 years. He's averaged 6.4 more fantasy points per game at home than on the road. And again, that makes some sense with him being.
You must have a really good masseuse.
I'm definitely not going to comment on that. But it's enough for me to have Mills as my number 20 quarterback this week. And I think Collins is absolutely startable. And frankly, with Brandon Cooks kind of being a bit disciplined by the team, it seems like there's maybe more of a kind of a 1A, 1B target share situation there. I would be okay starting with Collins.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Theo. I think if you're playing Hunt, you're kind of playing for the friendliest loss. You need to go big or go home with Nico.
Yeah, it's. I would feel gross if I had a 6 point production out of Hunt. I'd almost rather take a swing for the fences with Collins. I think that's the only way you can really play it in a must win type game. You're not playing for floors. Sticking with that game, you, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're lower than consensus on Danny Dimes this week than a number of people. I saw Danny Dimes. I've seen Danny Dimes in the top 10 for some people that I respect rankings. You have him as a sit. What is your thoughts on Dimes this week?
I do. And I do understand the logic, because while we think of the Lions as having a particularly poor run defense, they've also been a booster of expected passing touchdowns by 0.29 per game. That's the fourth most in football. So in general, this would be a good spot for quarterbacks. The thing of it is just you're potentially dealing with some cold temperatures and pretty high winds in New York this week against the Lions. So I think it may be a bit more of a run-oriented game there than you would typically see, even more so than you would often see with the Giants in general. So I have Daniel Jones down at 14th among quarterbacks. Whether or not you would sit him, I think, would depend on your league context. But relative to what the consensus in the top 10 is, I do think he's a sit this week.
So, go ahead, JD. Yeah, because there's a question from the chat. Please.
Yeah, that's exactly where we're going. Dan and I were just kind of going back and forth. We were trying to save these for the end, but shout out to the chat. It's lit right now. So we got to get to the chat. Dan, you had one up. Throw it up. And I wanted to ask Scott, actually, or any of you guys, what's the Mike Williams status? Because I've got him on a bunch of rosters. I have no idea what to do with him right now.
Well, it sounds like to me he's got a chance to play, JD. It sounds like I would guess that he plays if I had to bet on it. It sounds like he's trending in that direction.
Yeah. So I guess the question would be to Scott or whoever wants to kind of take this conversation is versus, the Christian Watsons, the Kadarius Tonys, where are you putting him? Scott, maybe you go first.
I mean, for me, if Williams plays, then I'm going to start him and just hope for the best in terms of his health, because I think he is the most trustworthy of these receivers in a general sense. But as for the other two, I'm actually still leaning Christian Watson there. And while I'm very optimistic about Tony long term, He only played 44% of offensive snaps last week, even though he was the most productive receiver from a fantasy perspective. Justin Watson actually played significantly more snaps than him. And while I think that'll probably change over the rest of the season, I'd like to see him up over the 70% range before I fully trust him. We've seen Watson do it like in an extreme way, right? And he's playing as the wide receiver too with Romeo Doubs out right now. So I just feel a little bit better about sort of the guaranteed workload there on the Packers end of things.
I mentioned in the agreed, well, I guess I agreed on the Watson, but I guess I would say, I said in the chat, Scott, that if you wait tonight and pass on Tony, it gives you an opportunity to check on the Mike Will status, right? Because if, you know, Tony, true. You know, Tony or Mike Williams could be a good pivot. And what you would do tonight is obviously, you know, lock in Watson. And so for now, I would have Tony in the lineup. I think that if we knew that Mike Williams, you know, tomorrow is not limited, he was full, or we got some pretty good indication going into Sunday from those overnight reports or whatever, I guess I truly would, if there was positive reports, slip Mike Williams over Tony. But for now, I would leave Tony and just to give myself some pivot options.
I understand the logic. The question that I would have, though, is with Juju Smith-Schuster, like, still has a chance to play, right? I know he hasn't cleared concussion protocol yet, but what happens if he plays?
This week, he still has a chance?
I thought so.
I think, you know, we all saw him go down. I don't think it's likely that he plays, but, you know, there's definitely a chance. I think kind of the answer to that question is it kind of depends on what you need out of that, you know, out of that roster spot. If it's go big or go home, then I think, you know, you could see the avenue open to, you know, and it looks like Mike Williams might play. Maybe you go that way and you just say, well, you know, if it doesn't happen, you know, maybe Tony can still rescue me. You know, cause he's definitely a player who's got the skills to go off at any time, even on limited number of targets. But if you're looking for more just kind of the safe play, hey, I got to get some points here. That might be the time to go Watson.
Dan, I mean, and Stockpile does want a summary here, so we can do that next. But I would just say, Dan, I mean, if I'm being honest with you, I think all three players, you could convince me all three could end up with zeros, or all three could end up with 30. I mean, like profile wise, I see them all the exact same, which is why, like, I guess I would go back to, like, I would want that pivot option, because I think ultimately, like, I've liked Mike Williams's talent more. Then Tony's done it the, you know, second most times, and then Watson we just saw it last week. So I guess I would go in ranked order with who I've seen do it before, because I think any of them can go 0 or 30 on me. But I guess if to summarize for Traverse Stockpile, I would leave open the Tony Mike Williams options, and I would leave Watson third. Would be my ranked.
Does anyone disagree with me? I want to answer TC Tansky. Wandell or Traylon rest of season? I'm going Traylon because upside's still there and more of a chance to hit.
Yeah, Traylon for me.
Traylon. Scott?
All right.
I think ceiling related, yes.
Wandell is just – Dan brought it up in our chat earlier. He's dealing with a knock today at practice. But, you know, he's been – the last two games have been very, very disappointing – in terms of how much they're targeting him. It's been back-to-back. It's been Darius Slayton. It's wild as it is. It's kind of the Darius Slayton show in terms of the only wide receiver you can trust in New York right now. One player who was a waiver wire addition who provided some value and actually looked very good last game was Kenyon Drake. You have him as a sit this week, Scott. Maybe you could explain how you would treat Kenyon Drake this week and maybe go into Gus Edwards a little bit.
Yeah, the caveat of this is Gus Edwards' availability, because obviously Drake did tremendous without Edwards available last time. When they last together, which was back in week 8, Edwards played a little bit more. Drake had just 11 carries and targets combined that week, and I'm projecting him for 10.2 this week, so kind of in that range. But that's outside the 30 among running backs. So I think it's a little bit of a risk. There is another cold temperature game, maybe that the Ravens will lean even heavier into the run. But Drake has also been a bit of a lucky touchdown scorer with 4 touchdowns, but 2-1 expected touchdowns so far this season. And honestly, I think the team would lean a little bit more heavily on Gus Edwards in typical goal line situation, all of their guys available. So I think that's why I'm leaning a little bit Gus Edwards. I have Gus a couple spots ahead of Drake, even though I think it's going to be a bit of a timeshare. It just if the expectation is that, that you think that Drake is going to give you what he gave you last time, I think that might not be true.
Scott, can I give you an FFPC Grinders, not the app, question? It's really gross. Sure. It's Kenyon Drake, we just talked about, or Latavius Murray. This is kind of what we're dealing with here.
I feel like Latavius Murray's in so many of my decisions this week, and I don't know why. I'm like, this is sad. That's how bad I'm doing in these leagues.
I mean, the positive thing I can say about Latavius Murray is that he's playing the Raiders this week, and they have that's a top 10 expect. So, like, I feel pretty good for his touchdown chances from a general sense, but I think I would still go with Drake, especially in any kind of format that has PPR. I think he draws a pretty big advantage there. In half PPR, I have Drake 33rd, and I have Latavius Murray 40th, to give you some context.
Okay. Nice. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, and Theo, completely related in our FFPC that somehow is made – or our football guys would just somehow make – in a playoff position right now, I did swap in Drake for Latavius Murray. So –
You got to go with the Drake there. But it's a fantasy football law that whichever old dusty running back we put on the bench is going to fall in the end zone maybe twice.
That's right.
And the other one's going to have like 5 points. It's just the way it is. One guy who's not old and dusty, who's red hot in terms of people viewing him as a possible league winner. Certain smaller leagues, people are unloading the clip when it comes to fab on him, is Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco went over 80 yards. He looks explosive, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been phased out, it seems. What are your thoughts on Pacheco? You had him as a sit this week. Maybe your thoughts on that and how you view him moving forward.
Yeah, honestly, I feel bad about listing him as a sit because I feel like I've been advocating him for several weeks as a guy that could maybe surpass Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, CEH got drafted in the first round because he was such a great after-contact runner at LSU, and Pacheco has been the better after-contact runner so far this season. I think he's top 15 among running backs in yards after contact per attempt. So I like it. I like him as a starter. I feel like he's got a good opportunity, but I have him 28th among running backs this week. That's three spots below consensus. So it's a sit, at least relative to expectations. And to me, I think a bit of a mistake to just assume that last week is going to be what it's like for this every week, because they were up by multiple scores, had a great run positive game script, and Pacheco got a lot of run late in that game. But if you look over the last 3 weeks, when he's been a starter that whole time, he's averaged just 10 carries and targets per game, and basically none of those have been targets. So in that range, you're pretty much talking about outside the top 30 running backs. There's always a chance that the Chiefs could build a lead and create a run positive game script again. They're going to do it a lot. And also the Chargers are a really nice run defense to face. They increase expected rushing touchdowns by 0.23 per game. But the fact of the matter is, I think this is a timeshare. And frankly, I'm not sure that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is like totally going to go away just because he had one game where he didn't get a lot of work.
I don't remember where I heard this, Theo, but KC, who cares who the running back is? That's basically my, and I agree with that. Like, I don't care about the running back. Give me the receivers. Give me the tight end. Give me the quarterback. I'm good to go.
I think it's there's a number of games down the stretch where they look like they're going to be huge favorites and not, mess around. It's the Chargers, and then they play the Bengals away are like the last two, like, kind of difficult games for them. And then if you look at the rest of their schedule, I mean, Pacheco could gain a lot of steam in those games. It's a nice looking playoff schedule. It's two games against Denver and then a couple other games where they should be in control. There was one super interesting start sit that you had, Scott, taking it to the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. You listed Terrace Marshall as a start and DJ Moore as a sit. Maybe you could dive a little bit into that one.
Yeah, I think there is a key here, which is that my starts and sit are relative to the consensus. So I do in an absolute sense.
Well, you're more maybe you could say why you're more bullish on Marshall versus consensus and less bullish on DJ Moore versus consensus.
Yeah, but just to be clear, I have Moore 22nd and Marshall 43rd among wide receivers. So if you're literally choosing between the two, choose Moore. But the reason that I'm relatively pessimistic on Moore is that he's just seen a dramatically bigger target share with PJ Walker at quarterback this year. It's almost a 10% increase compared to Baker Mayfield. And while I would think that would probably be random, I don't know. There could be something to it with Baker maybe being a little bit shorter, maybe can't work the middle of the field as much as some other quarterbacks, a place where DJ Moore does a lot of work, and he's not that big himself. So to me, it's been a bit of a discouraging workload there. Whereas with Terrace Marshall, I'm not sure that everyone is called up to the fact how much he's been playing since the Robbie Anderson trade. He's averaged 5 targets per game since he became the starter in week 7. And to me, that's, you know, 43rd isn't exactly like your standard league. You're going to throw him in every lineup. But I think that the consensus is a little bit. He's a player that's getting a good bit of run, and you could easily see the Panthers falling behind against the Ravens up in Baltimore and having to pass and maybe benefiting Marshall down the stretch.
No, we love seeing the Terrace Marshall bounce back season in the GOAT District. We don't take L's in the GOAT District. We just wait long enough for our guys to get some value.
Perfect.
Yep. If you wait long enough, everything comes back into fashion. Even Bell.
It all comes full circle. Even Paris Campbell. Even Paris Campbell, guys.
That's right.
Paris Campbell.
Dan and I talked about a Paris Campbell DJ Moore earlier, and it was maybe less talking and more I gave a take, and then Dan just kind of let me work it out myself. And I ultimately landed on Paris Campbell between the two of those. But it was like a Gollum situation where I kind of just went into a closet and started screaming at myself until I landed on Paris Campbell.
It's very, very sad when you have to bench a guy like DJ Moore. But I think that you would have to go Paris Campbell over DJ Moore. It's not even, I don't think it's in terms of like expectations and what we've seen, it's like the connection between Campbell and Ryan is wild right now. So gotta go with him.
Well, I was just gonna say Dan's typically so aggressive in his communications. He's a great communicator, but I think he's kind of learned to just like plant some seeds and kind of let me work it out myself.
Absolutely.
So he's really adapted to my style with those kind of start sit decisions. So Theo, question for you. Please.
I gotta tell you, owning a team with Andrew is one of the most interesting experiences there is, right, guys?
No, I love it. I love bouncing ideas off of Andrew's.
Oh, I do too. Andrew,
but you get super emotional and attached to some of your guys. You gotta love it.
Just some?
Oh, everyone.
One guy. I'm curious if anything changes. You have Amari Cooper as a sit. With the change of venue, going from the Minnesota-esque conditions of Buffalo to the friendly dome.
Yeah.
Does this change anything with your Amari Cooper valuation for this week?
It really does. To me, like, he would no longer be a sit relative to expectations. I think there's two things involved here. One is that in the dome, the conditions are just going to be better for offense that way. Like, you expect him to probably see more targets for the Browns in general to throw more passes. But also, I think the fact that the Bills will probably be able to score more to their typical standard, I think that's good for game script reasons, where if the Browns end up falling more behind, that's going to motivate passes to Cooper and to Donovan Peoples-Jones, for that matter, another player that I generally like. So I think this move is, I think, really good for the Browns wide receivers from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, so just to piggyback on that, DPJ hasn't gotten a touchdown all year yet. Scott, do you know offhand, like, what his expected touchdowns should be based on his catches?
I do. I've been writing it pretty much every week for the last 5 weeks. It's like 2.2 expected touchdowns so far this season, based on where he's seen those targets. So he is big time due for some touchdown luck. And I know that sounds really nerdy for everybody that's not as used to that, but guys like Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, like, there have been a lot of guys that have broken through in the last few weeks who this was a big sign pointing to that happening. I think Peoples-Jones is definitely due. He's going to score, I think, probably 3 touchdowns the rest of the way at least.
Scott, I read this guy Scott Spratt's article, and he actually says it's 2.41. So I don't know if you want to argue.
It sounds even better than I expected.
I mean, we're all.
All right, guys, we got 5 minutes. We got 5 minutes till it's lock 'em and load 'em with your lineups. We want to talk tonight. Quick prediction, Scott. Maybe or okay. Let Theo. Theo came in. Theo, you choose tonight, or do we go with like a last? Like a very sneaky start sit for this weekend. Which one do you want to go?
I'd say we should give our predictions for tonight, because I believe I'm usually correct on these ones.
I'll go last.
Wow.
And he wants to go last. And he goes last. He makes a statement and then he goes last. All right. We'll go to our guest first for sure. +3 right now is the... +3, -3. Anyways, 3 points difference right now.
Who is +3?
+3 Tennessee.
Tennessee +3? Nice.
Yeah, so Green Bay's favored right now.
Are we picking against the spread?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No money lines here, man. It's a district.
Given that, I will take the Titans. It's kind of weird, but don't you feel like the Titans are the team that should play in cold weather? I mean, they're a power running team that likes to use the play action pass. So to me, it could be a really nice Derrick Henry night. Give me the 30 plus carries. I think the Titans are going to cover.
I will go Green Bay minus the 3, JD. I'll just go in order because I'm next to Scott on the screen. I'll go Green Bay minus the 3. I think Green Bay wins this game by 6.
Oh, Theo, I was just trying to look up alternative lines because I was going to say, not only do I like the Green Bay minus 3, but I was trying to figure out what you could get for an alt line of Green Bay minus 6 or minus 7. I like Green Bay by about a touchdown tonight. So I agree there.
And I'll say shout out to Stockpile in the chat. Christian Watson, he's saying 3 for 56. I'm going to say Christian Watson 4 for 77 and a touchdown.
Nice.
Yeah, as the Vikings fan in the room, I'll tell you what, I hope that what we saw last week versus Dallas was not Green Bay doing their White Walker imitation, you know, yep, where all of a sudden they're just, the eyes come open and they're, you know, bright blue and they're coming for us. Because that's what seems to happen every year with Green Bay, even when they start off crappy. But I'm taking Tennessee on this one. Tennessee just has a way of kind of crushing the life out of all their opponents. You know, they're not a fun team to watch for the most part, unless Derrick Henry's getting loose. But they know how to win games. And I'm just not sure that Green Bay is built to take on a team like Tennessee quite yet. I don't know if they're far enough along. But so I'm taking Tennessee, but that might be the homer in me speaking.
I heard a stat today or a line today that the last time the Packers were 4-6 at this point of the season, the next time they lost was in the playoffs, and I believe it was divisional playoffs that they lost. So maybe they go on a little run. Maybe Rodgers has found his go-to guy. And I just can't like the Titans, man. I'm a Colts fan. I'm going to go Green Bay. Let's get a win against the AFC here. Come on.
All right, Scott, it's you and me with the Titans. We got
to
take
these guys. All you have to do is cover. They don't have to win. We're good.
Yeah.
I'll ask one more thing for Scott. Scott, give us a sneaky start. Maybe we didn't go over tonight on the show that could maybe bail somebody out tonight. Maybe somebody under the radar that you like a little bit ahead.
Okay. I don't know how far under the radar it is, but let me point out Rondale Moore. After Zach Ertz got injured last week, he had a higher target percentage the rest of the game, and this was first quarter on, than any wide receiver has had so far this season. So I'm pretty bullish on Moore. I have him projected for 9.2 targets this week and have him as a top 20 wide receiver.
Love it. Love it.
We love that.
We're big Rondale Moore owners in the district, so we love that. Scott, why don't you keep going and remind all the peeps where they can find all your goodness, when it drops, and anything else you want to share before we close it up?
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. I've had a great time coming on. I'm Scott Spratt, at Scott_Spratt on Twitter. I tweet content there, so that's an easy place to find me. The Start Sit article usually comes out mid-afternoon on Thursdays on ftnfantasy.com. It's free. I write a couple of other articles in FTN that are subscription only, but I would highly encourage you to subscribe. And then I have the Advanced Stats with Scott Spratt podcast, which has an episode come out on Tuesday and Friday morning each week.
Awesome. Theo, we got something brewing for tomorrow night for our Dynasty Degens, something serious.
So tomorrow we'll hit like 10% redraft just because of the time, but it'll be about 90% of Dynasty with our friend Austin R. Martin. If you enjoy our high-stakes content, Austin is it when it comes to high stakes fantasy. I would say he's probably the most well-known and most successful FFPC high stakes grinder. He's also a tremendous redraft player. We compete in leagues against him. And we're really looking forward to getting a chance to sit down and talk to him tomorrow night.
Guys, smash the like, smash the subscribe, follow every handle on the screen. I know these guys are hardworking. They want to help you guys win. And why don't you guys give us in the comments, let us know what kind of content you're looking for from now till the end of the season, because it's getting, we're like surgeons now, guys. We got to get focused. You know, none of this like macro stuff. We're getting micro. We got to get to the prizes, and we're going to help you do that. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night. We got a big dino show. And good luck tonight, guys. Good luck week 11. Let's get the money weeks. Check you all later.
district, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion, for the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex, send the homie a text. That trash offer's the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's a... And I always be trading. Trading. And I always be trading. Trading. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them. Bait them. Fish.
Damn it, I was gonna ask Scott for those Chapel Hill recommendations. I'll just DM him. It's fine.
Yeah. DM him, man. DM him. Get in the DMs. This guy, Harry Snowman, thinks that, you know how like all my teams are called Goat District, and then a lot of our teams together are called Goat District. So he thinks that one of my teams that I own solo is like all of us. So he always wants us to discuss us buying Kelsey off him, you know.
Harry Snowman, that's all JD right there.
You got to do one of those 10-minute pods where you just get him on, just negotiate the shit out of that, JD.
That's a great idea. Oh, there you go. New pod idea.
You're not allowed off the stream until we figure out a deal.
Andrew, get the intern on that. That's a great idea.
My idea. Intern, you can hear it.